PR.
Well, you don't miss a thing.
But in the meantime, let's have a chat to our business futurist, Morris Mizalowski. G'day, Morris.
G'day, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Hey, Morris, I'm asking everybody today, what do you think of Bucks Fizz?
Good.
Oh, good. Yay. Congratulations. Oh, I love that. Big round of applause for Morris, I think.
Yeah. That's a blast from the past and the future.
I can't make it stop. Oh, there we go. It stopped. It's only eight seconds long, so that's okay. Oh, Morris, I'm so glad you're on my side.
Look, they were okay. That's a real blast for the past, from the future, though.
Oh, look, I love it. And we've had quite a few both people patting me on the back and people, you know, cutting me down, but I don't care. If station management wants to let me sit in this chair with no management in the station, they're just going to have to cope with the Bucks.
Yeah, take the consequences, aren't they?
That's right. Morris, what are we covering today?
I thought we'd talk about travel.
Travel?
Yeah, look, a lot of us are going to be doing it very soon, especially over this break period, and I thought we might talk about the things that we do very differently when we're on the road to what we might have done a year or so ago even.
So how are we, what I don't understand the relationship between travel and technology.
So I'm talking more about the way that we keep in touch. So what can we do with technology while we're on the road? I get asked the question quite often, and one of the things we talk about, of course, is taking our mobile equipment with us, our mobile telephones, our iPads and those sorts of things, and how do we keep that on the road, how do we keep prices to a minimum?
Well, that's a good point, because I know when I was in Bali, I checked out what it was going to cost, and it was ferociously expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the first tips I always give people is that you must turn off your internet roaming on your mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, when you get to your destination, the temptation could be there for you to pick up your phone, start making calls, and start retrieving your emails and web stuff.
Well, the interesting thing for me, though, Morris, is that I do a stack more internet on my mobile devices than I do phone calls.
Yeah, and that's the trend moving forward. Absolutely. So we need to be mindful that we need to turn off the internet roaming and then look for some other ways around. So I travel with a couple of SIM cards, international SIM cards, and I find it to be very cost-effective. I've bought a little handset, a fairly cheap one, and I put into it, the one I use is called Travel SIM.
Mm.
But there's a one SIM card and there are a few others on the marketplace, and what it gives you is fairly reasonable rates for your mobile phone calls around the planet.
Does it do data as well?
It does do data, so they're only just starting to in the last 6 months or so, and the data rates are okay depending on which country you're going to. None of these are going to be as cheap as you might be able to get the price in Australia. You're certainly going to pay a premium, but you'll pay far less than you would using data roaming, and often not only a little bit more than the locals might pay.
And what about having, access to your original telephone number?
So you most probably won't have that with your travel if you buy one of these cards, because they will give you an alternate number. So what you might do is you might transfer your phone across to this new number so that people can get you.
Or I guess you could leave one of those voicemail messages that doesn't allow people to leave a message, but you can tell them what the new number is.
You could do that. You can also get a Skype-in number, so if you're going to be in a country for a while.
Tell us more about that.
So a Skype-in number is a service that Skype provides. It's a few dollars every month, and they offer you a phone number for most places on the planet. So you'll go onto Skype and you'll go into Skype In. You'll choose the country that you're going to, and it's between $5 and $25, depending, per month. And they will give you a local phone number. That local phone number is then yours to use. So you can divert your phone to that local phone number, and then you can divert that phone number at the local rate to your mobile.
Nice.
Makes sense? So a couple of steps. It sounds a bit messy, but it actually isn't. So again, all you're doing is getting a local phone number, divert your calls to that, and then from there divert to your mobile. And that's a relatively cheap way to achieve that constant connection.
I guess one of the other things you can look at, and I guess I dropped lucky with this when we went to Bali recently, the hotel that we picked actually had really good free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and that's becoming more and more the norm, especially out of Australia. We're not all that good at it in Australia yet. But most places, America, Europe, certainly many places throughout Asia will do exactly that. It's become quite normal that they will give you good Wi-Fi and not charge you for it either. So it's a good thing to look for when you're making your choice of hotels if you are somebody who likes to have internet connection.
Are there any sort of applications or websites that can help us choose what hotels to pick?
You can go to the usual ones like TripAdvisor, and that's one that's used by lots and lots of people. TripAdvisor is a community-based website. So people that have been there place the reviews, not people that own it or have something to plug. And you can find out about what other people have thought about staying there. And often the comments are about Wi-Fi as well. But you'll find if you go to all of the hotel websites, they'll all tell you whether Wi-Fi is included or not. There are also apps that you can download onto both Android, Apple, and most devices, and most of them are free. If you do a Wi-Fi finder search, you'll find that there are apps you can download that will be able to tell you where the local Wi-Fi is if it's not in your hotel.
Is it still safe to use Wi-Fi overseas?
It is if you're careful about it. So I certainly wouldn't be doing banking on it. I wouldn't be doing things that are sensitive, but generic things like perhaps checking in to your Gmail, perhaps, you know, finding out local information, those sorts of basic things, I don't have an issue with for using for that. And also if you're doing it through your laptop, setting it up as a public network.
So it's got the firewall and stuff.
Exactly. So making sure that that next level is up. Of course, that doesn't work as well on your mobile phones. There just isn't that option. But certainly if it's a laptop thing, I would always set it up as a public network so that nothing can come through, and being very careful about where it is that you are surfing out to.
Now, obviously, a lot of people, when they travel, they take travel guides, travel books with them, you know, the likes of Lonely Planet, that type of thing, just to, you know what the great things are to see where you are. I'm assuming that these days we have electronic versions of those, like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yeah, we do. I used to travel with kilos of books, one for every country that we went to. And nowadays, it's really a matter of finding the equivalent app online. Some of them are free, some of them are not, so it really depends on which variety you want. And most of the books that you were able to buy now come in a soft form. In other words, they come in an app. So there are things like DK Eyewitness, which are a great set of tourist books. They're usually the most pricey of the lot. They're about $10, $15 for a book on that country. Mm. And they will have all the things that the traditional books have, you know, the hotels, where to eat, the accommodation, you know, how to travel, do all of that. Lonely Planet, of course, has a set of books. Again, it's very similar to the ones that they sell in hard copy. There are things like Go Explore. So you'll find a huge variety of online app books. It's a matter of finding the one that suits you. It was the same with the physical book. You know, people travel in different styles and want different bits of information. So have a quick look through these, look up some of the reviews around them and see which ones you want. But there's also a whole different way of looking at travel guides as well. Apart from that, there are generic tools that we can use like Layar, L-A-Y-A-R.
This is the augmented reality.
The augmented reality and Yelp. And there, again, both of those are free, but what you're doing is using your mobile phone as a set of binoculars. So you download this thing once, and your camera becomes a set of binoculars. In other words, you look through the screen, you see the real world, but you can ask for it to find you additional information. So where are the local hotels? Where are the toilets? Where do I have coffee? You know, what are the good restaurants? Where? I mean, really, most things that a tourist would want to know, and you can see it on your screen. It will guide you to it, so it gives you a map. It also will give you a website, so you can click on it, it'll take you to the web and tell you what's happening, all sorts of information. So it's a richness that you're getting, and you're getting it in real time in situ. So actually, as you're walking around, this thing's dynamically changing.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. Morris, we're almost running out of time, but before I let you go, I just want to ask you about data security and how we can use tools like Dropbox and even Apple's iCloud to make sure that at the very least, even if we lose our camera, all of our data is safe.
What a great question. So I'm a great one for Dropbox. What it simply is an electronic filing system. It's kept up in the cloud. It's fairly secure. It's something you set up at home or in your office before you leave, and then you set yourself up on your, it can be on any of your mobile phones or on your laptops or iPads or whatever else you have. And what you do is simply like a filing system, anything that you put into a Dropbox on any one of the devices will automatically come up on all your other devices. So I always carry electronic copies of my passports, my visas, my travel documents, anything that I might need and I might physically carry with me is in electronic form. And I also use it for photo storage. So I put my photos into it when I'm traveling so that it comes back to my other computer at the office and at home.
And that way, even if your camera gets stolen and the little cards that have the photos on them, it doesn't matter because they're already back at home.
Absolutely. So you've got that security of it being home. You also then can reuse, because nowadays we take lots of pictures with our digital cameras, and often it doesn't matter how large our card is, we run out of space. So it's a great way of making sure you haven't lost them, that they're back where you want, and you can clear it off and then go take another set of them.
Morris, Chris. I always love talking to you, and I can assure you next time I'm over your way, you and I are going to be getting together for a very long series of coffees.
Love it. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Morris. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Have a great week, everyone.
Cheers. Morris Mizalowski there. And if you want to check out Morris's website, it's businessfuturist.com. Go and have a look at it. Morris is available as well if you've got some sort of company that wants to know what's coming down the track, then Morris is the man to talk to.